Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio. Your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. This is a live special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Later on in the broadcast, we'll take some questions, but we have a special guest. And the way I want to describe him is as an intelligent design proponent. In other words, someone who is willing to follow the scientific evidence wherever it leads. He neither presupposes nor precludes supernatural explanations for the phenomena that he encounters in an information-rich universe. And as such, my guest might rightly be described as one who practices open-minded science, because he begins with the common scientific principle that intelligent design is detectable wherever there is specified, organized complexity. In other words, wherever there is information. And that principle is central to many scientific fields. It is also, from my perspective, just plain old common sense. When you look at irreducibly complex biochemical systems, or when you consider the fact that the Earth is perfectly situated in the Milky Way for not only life, but for scientific discovery, the most plausible conclusion is an intelligent designer. In fact, in his considered opinion, the appropriateness of intelligent design theory ought to be judged on the basis of the theory's explanatory power, not on its metaphysical implications. The ID proponent that I'm describing is none other than our good friend Dr. Paul Nelson. He's a senior fellow of the Discovery Institute. He's a longtime contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal, and he's one of the principal experts featured in Illustria Media's new film, Origin, subtitled Design, Chance, and First Life on Earth. And if you don't have it, it is available for your gift. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our wonderful resource consultants standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. There are so many people in the scientific community who are not as keen on intelligent design theory as my guest, Dr. Paul Nelson. Richard Dawkins, arguably the best-known Darwinist on the planet today, seems to think that those who follow the intelligent design paradigm are ignorant, stupid, or insane. When you listen to Dr. Paul Nelson, you'll realize that that in itself is insane. Paul, good to have you back on the broadcast.
Hank, it's always a pleasure.
Why do you think that so many scientists are just completely unwilling to practice open-minded science?
I don't think one needs to look farther than the realities of human nature. Science, despite its textbook presentation, really is connected to everything else that we know or believe about the universe. So if one, for whatever reason, is predisposed not to want the universe to be designed, that predisposition, that act of the will, I guess you could call it, will short-circuit the power of evidence. It's a mystery, but a mystery that is of human perception or human cognition, that what we don't want to see, what we don't want to infer, we can you know, our will can get in the way of the clear testimony of evidence. And I think we find examples of this actually in Scripture. I think on previous occasions when you and I have talked, I've pointed out that the Pharisees, those who opposed Jesus, saw many of the miracles firsthand. You couldn't ask for better sense data, better evidence of the power of God manifest in the flesh when Jesus was healing or casting out demons. Yet the Pharisees explained them away. They said, well, he casts out demons by Beelzebub. So between the eyes and ears and the heart and the mind, it's a complex web of relationships. And part of the mystery of faith for me is that persuasive evidence for one person can entirely fail for another person for the, exactly the same event. And it's sobering to realize that, I think.
You know, I want to really camp out on this issue for just a few more moments with you, because you were just talking about the times in which Jesus Christ walked the earth, and there were people who had what we might call stakeholder interest. They had temple, priest, and sacrifice. They had power. They had prestige. They had position. And therefore, they did not want to recognize that Messiah was in their midst. In fact, they started saying that Jesus was doing what he was doing in terms of the miracles that you described by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And I think perhaps you could elaborate on this stakeholder interest, because it seems to affect the research of academics in the sciences no less, and perhaps even more than in the humanities.
I think you're right. There is a worldview that one could call scientific materialism in the film we're discussing, that's how it's named, that says everything that we see, not just the galaxies and planets and stars and so forth, but living things and, in fact, our species itself, everything that we see must be explained strictly by natural laws and chance events. And that worldview, and it really is a philosophical worldview, has a powerful grip on the imagination of scientists, and not all, but many of them defend it tenaciously because there's a lot connected with that that isn't strictly scientific. For instance, how we view each other, how we're going to treat each other morally ends up being connected to that. And I like your term stakeholder, because they have a commitment, a personal commitment that wants to see this worldview defended come what may. And there are plenty of cases in the history of science where people, sadly, will go to their graves never, ever having surrendered an erroneous worldview. So while I do believe in the power of evidence to persuade, I think we need to be realistic that there's more than evidence involved when we come to a question like the origin of life or the origin of humanity.
I was in Hong Kong just a few days ago, and one of the things that was interesting is I had the opportunity to, just on a personal level, have a debate or a discussion on this very topic, the issue of origins. And this wonderful guy was an atheist, and his first line of reasoning was, look, this is settled science. In other words, you're going against the flow of what all academics around the world seem to accept as reality, and you're simply trying to dismiss that. How do you respond to someone who says that?
Well, first of all, it's not factually true. So last week, a group of scientists and I were in London for a meeting held by the Royal Society, a three-day meeting on the topic, can the theory of evolution be modified because it's not working? The first speaker on the first morning was a evolutionary biologist named Gerd Müller. And I'm actually going to be writing an article about this tomorrow for the web. Müller argued, among other things, that textbook evolutionary theory had signally failed to explain important phenomena like the origin of complexity or the fact that major animal and plant forms enter the fossil record suddenly, abruptly, almost as if they had been planted there. So your interlocutor in Hong Kong was saying something that just wasn't true. Plenty of scientists recognize that evolutionary theory has problems. And on this particular question, namely the origin of life, it's a wild array of different ideas, none of which is experimentally well supported, all of which face problems, all of which face daunting probabilistic hurdles. I would agree with him about a deeper assumption, and that is the point I made a moment ago, namely scientific materialism. That, I think, yes, it does tend to dominate the thinking of scientists, again, not all. But that's not a science, that's a philosophy. And philosophies come and go. So had I been present at that conversation, I would have challenged your friend and said, look, it's just not true. And the more candid scientists are away from the public eye, the quicker they are to admit they don't know the answer to many of these key questions.
Let's talk about the film, Unlocking the Mystery of Life Origin. I mean, we want to put this into the hands of as many people as we possibly can. We're just talking about something. They can't actually see what we're talking about, but this is a DVD. It's a film that unlocks, in a sense, a mystery, and it does it through computer animation. It does it through incredible argumentation. It does it through a quite miraculous presentation on film. I want you to whet people's appetites to just how significant the issue is and just how well it is presented in film.
Well, one of the themes of the film is that this question of the origin of first life ends up being connected to us, to human beings. And for that reason, it's unlike almost any other question in science. You know, you can talk about the wave-particle duality of light or plate tectonics or the germ theory of disease. None of those theories has the intimate connection to us that the question of the origin of life does. And that makes it both incredibly interesting and incredibly controversial. So what we do in the film, using, as you point out, computer animations and all kinds of representations of different theories of the origin, different naturalistic theories, we try to sift among them and say, what is the rational thing to infer when you see the complexity of a single cell? And we are, throughout the film, it's about 48 minutes, so it's very watchable. It won't take up a lot of your time, but you sit down and you watch this, and we draw on the imagination and the curiosity of the viewer to say, here are the issues. Here's what it takes to have a cell. Here's what it takes to have a single protein. Having laid out all the evidence, we say, what's reasonable? So we're appealing to logic. We're appealing to rationality. We're appealing to the good, trustworthy common sense that God gave every human being when confronted with evidence. And if you give it half a chance and open up your heart and open up your mind, that evidence is persuasive. So I'm very proud of the film. I think it's entertaining. It's got some humor, in fact. You wouldn't think of a lot of humor in The Origin of Life, but there is some. And I think it's the kind of film that actually, pop it in your DVD, invite a friend over, invite a neighbor. It keeps a light touch, so this is not preaching at you. It's really appealing to your reason, just as if you were in a jury box, right? And you're listening to the defense, and you listen to the prosecutor, and you weigh the evidence. So my picture of reason that the Bible offers is one that doesn't ask us to make wild leaps into the dark. It puts the evidence that God created right in front of us and says, use your brain.
We live in an age of scientific enlightenment, and there's no better time for the Christian worldview to prevail. And when we're talking to people, the whole idea is not just to win the argument, but to win the person. I had my 12-year-old with me on my trip to Asia, and he was sitting there watching this discussion slash debate with an atheist, and he said, wow, that's what I want to do. In other words, he recognized that the Christian worldview can prevail in the arena of intellect and ideas. And what was even cooler about it is the idea that you can model not just the winning of an argument, but you can model the winning of a person. Because we should not have to suppose that it is our responsibility to grab people by the lapels and say, brother, are you saved? Shake people, run around frantically. No, we need to be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And we need tools. And this film, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, Origin is the big title, but it's Unlocking the Mystery of Life. This film is just fantastic as a tool. It will equip you. You can use it. When you can't make the argument, the film will make the argument vicariously for you. But in the process of watching, you'll be equipped. And next time, you'll be an ever more usable tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in making a difference, not just for time, but for eternity. Can't tell you just how excited I am to be able to put this into people's hands. You can get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org, or simply pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. If you have a question for Paul Nelson, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says the universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky? Illustra Media's new film, Origin, demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book antihero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The issue of origins, Hank Hanegraaff often says, is not just an apologetics issue, it is the apologetics issue, because how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. That's why for Christians weary of the arguments of scientific materialists, there's good news. Illustra Media's new film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, combines stunning photography and imagery with rock-solid science and scholarship to show that we are the products of an infinite intelligence beyond human fathoming, and far from accidental and purposeless. Receive Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And if you have any questions for my guest, Dr. Paul Nelson, questions about origins, questions about evolution, questions about issues that might trouble you in this regard, give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, my guest, Dr. Paul Nelson. He's a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute. He's a longtime contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal, and he's one of the principal experts featured in Illustra Media's new film, Origin, subtitled Design, Chance, and First Life on Earth. Paul, one of the things I want to do, And I think this is important, and oftentimes when we get into this subject, we don't do enough of it in my estimation. But I want to go back to this scenario taking place in Hong Kong. I had a couple of my kids there, a lot of people looking on. And there's this tendency, I suppose, that you maybe as a human being want to show off a little bit or win the debate or demonstrate the falsity of a person's argument. And in that process, you can almost lose the war because instead of reaching, you repel. And you're one of my favorite guests, quite frankly, because of your tone. Talk about the importance of tone, not just having the arguments, winning the debate, but the way in which you do it.
I think you've put your finger on something very important, and that is, as you put it, it's possible to win the battle and lose the war. After all, the person you're talking to bears the imago Dei. This is someone created in God's image for whom Jesus died. And you know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Let me show you a more excellent way." And Paul clearly delineates intellectual power, intellectual skill, you might even say debating skill, from what he upholds, and I think really Jesus himself upheld as the central value of the Christian life, and that is love. So if you can keep in mind that the person you're arguing with is someone that God loves and died for, that will help you maintain your cool, maintain your gentleness, maintain your patience. And it may be that there's a juicy opportunity to get a slam dunk, right? Someone commits a logical fallacy, or they appeal to authority, or they do in some other way make themselves intellectually vulnerable. The human sinful tendency might be, well, I'm going to slam that guy, right? He made a mistake, and now I've got a great opportunity to smack him. And a much better, and I think far more persuasive in the long run, approach is to say, God loves this person. And rather than score an easy point, I'm going to let that go so that they can hear me. Because as I said before the break, this issue entangles our emotions. It entangles our spirit, our soul, with questions of science, questions of philosophy. And I've been a student and a participant in this debate for over 30 years professionally. The longer I'm involved, the more I see that what's important is often not what we directly observe. It is taking place in someone's heart. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because really, sometimes the most effective thing that you can do is just to listen and to respond to what may be the brokenness of someone who is angry at God, or who is afraid of God, who is afraid of grace. You know, Luther talked about the psychology that humans flee grace. We don't embrace it, we flee it. He was a profound psychologist. So there are many dimensions that are not strictly intellectual that may be as or more important than the intellectual. I'm not diminishing the power of evidence. I'm not diminishing the power of logic. But we're not Spock, right? We were created with tender hearts to respond to the Holy Spirit. So I'm so grateful that you brought that up, because it really does matter. In the long run, what we want to do is not just win arguments, but we want to persuade at the deepest level and make an opening for the Holy Spirit to do his work.
You know, one of our core values at the Christian Research Institute is apologetics, and you're obviously a very smart guy, and you've been at this discipline of giving an answer, a reason, a defense for the faith for a long, long time. And I've always had this fear about the apologetics community in general, that when people start to learn more and more and more, the factor of pride has to be quelled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scripture tells us in the King James, knowledge puffeth up, right? And it's all too human, I speak from experience, to want to lean on one's training, to want to lean on one's education or intellectual ability. But Scripture also tells us, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I've been in debates. I was just in one, in fact, last month in Texas, where sometimes I think the more effective thing to do is not to go for the kill. You know, you can win a debate and make a lifelong enemy of someone. They're so badly hurt. They're so badly humiliated that they set their face, so to speak, against the gospel and say, I don't care. You embarrassed me in front of that audience. That's not, you know, it's a temporary victory and a long-term defeat. So I think that staying close to the Holy Spirit, being in Scripture, keeping a healthy devotional life is essential for any apologist. Because ultimately, our scientific theories, our ideas will go. The Word of God endures forever, and the work of the Holy Spirit is what engenders real faith, real lasting faith.
You're listening to Dr. Paul Nelson. As mentioned, he's a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He's a longtime contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal. He's a principal expert featured in Illustra Media's new film, Origin, which we want to put into your hands. It's available for those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Want to move on to something that is often referred to as an icon of evolution. I'm talking about the icon that is Stanley Miller's experiment. I think it was back in 1953. Why is this experiment? I maybe should ask first, what is it, and why is it so widely lauded as the evidence for chemical evolution?
Stanley Miller was a graduate student of the Nobel laureate Harold Urey at the University of Chicago. And Urey and Miller had an idea. They said, look, if life began on this planet via ordinary chemistry, we should be able to simulate those conditions in the lab and see what happens. So they built an apparatus where they had elemental gases and water and an energy source. In the original setup, it was a spark discharge. So they set up this experiment and let it run and provided energy to these elemental gases, and the experiment was able to produce simple amino acids. Now, this was widely hailed. In the same year that the molecular structure of DNA was elucidated by Watson and Crick as a breakthrough, showing that undirected basic chemistry could produce the building blocks of life. So that's what you would read in a textbook. That's the standard history of the experiment. But if you look a little deeper, you find some very troubling aspects that are not often talked about, but in fact that Miller himself acknowledged. For instance, the longer the experiment runs, the worse the yield. Okay, so you let the experiment run, and almost all of the product is insoluble tar. It coats the inside of the reaction vessel. It's a dark, tarry substance, suitable for paving roads, I'll give you that, not leading anything towards life. And the amino acids that they do produce are the simplest ones that we know. And again, the longer the experiment runs, the more those amino acids go into that tarry substance, insoluble tar, and they never get out again. Furthermore, the gases that they used were reducing. And in fact, it's believed now by geologists, geochemists, that the Earth's early atmosphere was either neutral or possessed trace amounts of oxygen. Any oxygen, even a very small amount present, will destroy the results. So on multiple grounds, including unrealistic starting materials, the yield is not very good, and it gets worse the longer the experiment goes on. On multiple grounds, the Miller experiment, while powerfully suggestive on a superficial examination, turns out not really to demonstrate what they thought. Here's an aphorism that your listeners can keep in mind that is reliable. You can bank on it. Chemistry, undirected chemistry, is indifferent to the living state. And the things that chemistry, unassisted chemistry, produces, for instance, amino acids, there are really only 22, depending on how you count them, that are 20, a set of 20 or 22 used in living things. Undirected chemistry produces hundreds of amino acids, only a fraction of which are relevant to life. So how are you going to discriminate that? How do you get rid of the ones that you don't want? Well, chemistry itself won't do that for you, because chemistry, as I said a moment ago, doesn't care about being alive. Organisms care about being alive. They exploit chemistry, but they can't be explained by it. So unless I were a philosophical materialist, and I'm not, but if I were a philosophical materialist, I would have to rely on undirected chemistry. But I think the evidence of biology tells us chemistry alone will never give you a cell.
I think what we're talking about here is that we ought to be aware of the icons of evolution, because oftentimes the icon in and of itself becomes the argument. So you see Darwin's tree of life, and it becomes an icon. You see, maybe you're reading Time magazine or another magazine, and you see the ape to man icon, and the icon again becomes the argument. So many students, they see the Stanley Miller experiment, and they seem to think that, well, here we have evidence for chemical evolution. So the icon again becomes the argument, and we have to be aware of this very fact and be able to, with gentleness and with respect, unpack the great fallacies of the icon itself. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking some of your calls. Also, the quote of the day. That's our habit these days. We got a quote of the day. It does, in many ways, relate to the topic that we're talking about. Stay tuned for the quote of the day and, of course, more of Dr. Paul Nelson. Your questions all coming up in just a moment.
With spectacular animation and leading-edge research, Illustra Media's new film, Origin, examines a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did the first life arise at a moment in time when there was no life of any kind? It's common today to hear the claim that simple chemistry without direction or plan explains how life began. But the film Origin exposes the absurdity of such a claim and reveals a molecular universe of extraordinary biological engineering that points clearly to intelligence and mind. Receive Origin on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says, "The universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky?" Illustra Media's new film, Origin, demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film, Origin, on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our quote of the day comes from Francis Crick. Dr. Crick was a British molecular biologist, and he was co-discoverer with James Watson back in 1953 of the structure of the DNA molecule. He was, of course, a fervent atheist. But here's what he said, quote of the day. "An honest man, armed with all the knowledge available to us now, could only state that in some sense the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle. So many are the conditions which would have had to have been satisfied to get it going. Again, that from an avowed atheist. I want to mention as well, before we go to back to Dr. Paul Nelson, that if you can join CRI's work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth, we would deeply appreciate that. You can do that by joining CRI's support team. Support team members undergird. They strengthen everyone of our 24/7 outreaches around the world, equipping fellow believers here at home and around the globe. We need at least 30 new support team members by the end of this month and 30 more by year end. I actually probably need to amend that a little bit because I saw this morning a number of people joined, so a little less than 30, but we still need many of you to join CRI's support team before the end of the month, and to become a member of the support team and change the world, you simply need to go to equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letters CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Back with Dr. Paul Nelson, and he, of course, is featured in Origin. It's a fantastic film. We've been talking about it all show. We've been promoting it all month. Your copy available when you go to the web at equip.org. You know, I want to talk about something, Dr. Nelson, with respect to chance. We had the opportunity to discuss this in some detail last time you were on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but so often this argument seems to be preeminent in the minds of those who want to discount Origins on the basis of intelligent design or an intelligent designer. This film really deals with this, I think, this matter in spectacular fashion.
Yes, the centerpiece of the film is this beautiful animation based on a very tight logic and scientific evidence that the origin of a single protein, a small one, 150 amino acids long, that's a smaller than average protein. The origin of a single functional protein on the basis of chance would require 10 to the exponent 164 tries. Now, that exponent is something that a number that large is something that we have no grasp of. In fact, as the film lays out in very clever animation,
it's larger than our national debt.
And that's big. Sad to say, it is big. The film lays this out showing an amoeba carrying a single atom all the way across the universe and then coming back to get another one. And it has to make this trip so many times that it staggers the imagination. And the problem with appealing to chance, well, there are many problems, but the main one is it flies in the face of reason. Ordinarily, in our experience, we don't let ourselves do this. So if I've got some problem with my checking account, I'm overdrawn, let's say, right? And not just a little, like several thousand dollars. I go into the bank and the manager is standing there with his arms crossed. He says, Paul, you got to fix this, right? And I say, look, we live in a big universe. Or maybe we live in a multiverse. We're one of an ensemble of universes. And chance can do things for us. So let's say that there's a non-zero probability that some kindly old woman's going to come in here and put $10,000 in my checking account. Since that could happen, metaphysically possible, let's just sit down here and see what happens. Now, a scenario like that, people say you're crazy. But in effect, there's no logical difference between that appeal to chance and what happens in Origin of Life research when the evidence fails. Chemistry does not help you. Chemistry goes in the other direction, runs in the other direction, and the investigator who's committed to a materialist view says, well, you know, we always have chance. That is an abuse of probability. That's not letting probability govern our judgment. That's actually slapping probability in the face. And what's so interesting to me as a 30-year student of this debate is people in perfect possession of their faculties on this question of origins will make this move to appeal to chance and really in the face of evidence. And what it shows me is at that point, science has broken down. And what happens is a philosophy, in the pejorative sense in which the Apostle Paul used the term, a philosophy takes over and runs away with your reason. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us, trust your reason. God gave it to you as an instrument for understanding the world. Trust it and follow it, and that will lead you to knowledge. So I hope your viewers can enjoy this funny episode in the middle of the film as much as I do, because we really work carefully to lay out the logic and the evidence that supports it.
It's absolutely brilliant. Let's take a phone call for Dr. Paul Nelson. Bob, he's listening in Bismarck, North Dakota, Sirius XM 131. You're on, Bob, with Dr. Paul.
Well, thank you, Hank, and Mr. Nelson. I hear this once in a while. How do you get the organization of the animals in the animal kingdom from haphazard random chance and to a more of an extreme? What about symmetry? I don't know of any. Are there any animals in the animal kingdom, insects or anything, that are not symmetrical? That seems to be just amazing to me. I look at my two hands as I'm driving my semi truck down the road once in a while, and I think, wow, that is fantastic, you know.
It is fantastic. And the amazing thing is, even in a single cell, we see symmetries. And we also see interesting biases. For instance, all amino acids in life use what's called a left-handed form. Now, under ordinary chemical processes, amino acids are produced in left- and right-handed forms at about equal numbers. So somehow, early chemistry, if it was undirected, had to figure out how to get rid of all those right-handed amino acids and only use the left-handed ones. And right now we know of no chemical process that can do that. We can do that. In fact, Pasteur made an important discovery. The same guy who discovered pasteurization made an important discovery about this, but it's not something that chemistry itself will do. So I think there are all kinds of signals in animals, as you indicated, the beautiful symmetries that they exhibit. But even single cells have these signals that appear to point to something other than undirected chemistry that brought them about.
You know, what's interesting is when you start looking at this subject, people presuppose that there are literally millions and millions of arguments that you have to learn. But my experience, I'd be interested in yours, my experience is that it all boils down to just mastering a few.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one of my colleagues at Discovery Institute, a molecular biologist named Doug Axe, recently published a book called Undeniable that's written for, I guess you could say, regular folks. And what he says in the book is, you can trust your intuition on this one. Intuition is not always a reliable guide. You know, we see the sun come up and we think, well, you know, the earth is still and the sun's moving. In fact, we know that that's not true. It's the earth that's turning. So intuition isn't always a reliable guide, but in the case of biological complexity, Doug argues very powerfully that it is reliable, and that the same kinds of patterns we see in living things, we see in ordinary life. So if I served you alphabet soup, and I put the bowl in front of you, and there was your name spelled out, or your name and address in those little noodles, right? The one explanation you would not accept is that just happened to be the way it came out of the can, right? And no rational human being would accept that, because we know that these kinds of specified complex patterns require intelligence. And the fascinating thing to me about design as an inference is that it's so trustworthy. Anybody listening to me could not get through their day without being able to say, certain patterns they see were caused by a mind, very much like theirs, and others would have a natural cause. It's a basic part of the toolkit of human rationality. So I think that you don't need to know a lot of arguments, Hank. What you need is to trust your reason and realize that it will not lead you astray when you see specified complexity. That's a reliable signal that there was a mind acting.
Time moves all too fast. I mean, a lot of people I know, Dr. Paul, would love to hang out with you for a couple of days, but they really can hang out with you, as it were, through this film, vicariously, through the film Origin. Again, this is about unlocking the mystery of life. It's about design, chance, first life on Earth, and it's simply stunning. Available for those who support the ministry. Thanks so much once again for your contribution.
Thanks for having me. And let me just put in a quick plug for Christian Research Journal. I have a book review coming out in one of the newest issues dealing with this same topic, and a guy at Caltech named Sean Carroll. I love writing for that journal, and I love getting it in the mail. So I'll plug that too.
Well, we love you too, and thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, Dr. Paul Nelson. And he mentioned Douglas Axe's new book, Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuitions That Life is Designed. Guess what? The book is also available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And, of course, Paul was kind enough to talk about the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine. You can subscribe online at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As mentioned, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. What an incredible opportunity we have as Christians to make a difference while there is yet time. If you feel unprepared, here are incredible tools. You can find not only Origin, but many other incredible films by Illustria Media on the web at equip.org. So check it out. Stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. This is a unique, one-of-a-kind ministry. You have an opportunity to reach through it people that you will never meet personally. So stand with us, and we'll look forward to being back with you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The new Illustra Media film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from, and why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Have you ever thought that maybe living things appear to be designed because they are in fact designed by a creator for a purpose? In the book Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, molecular biologist Douglas Axe argues that the key to understanding our origin is the design intuition,
This is the common sense belief held by all humans that any task requiring knowledge in order to accomplish the task can be accomplished only by someone who has that knowledge. For the ingenious task of inventing life, this knower can only be God. Receive Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.